Attention all passengers, on this episode of the Xbox Passport, we're going on a family vacation and hitting up all the family games that are available on Game Pass, talk about the future of the show, and a little bit of Starfield. Ooh, fasten your seatbelts and let's take off.
Welcome, travelers, to the Xbox Passport, presented by Xbox Canada, the podcast all about the best value in gaming, Xbox Game Pass. I'm Leah Jewer, and joining me on this voyage is none other than my friend and yours, the blind gamer, Steve Saylor. Hey, Steve, how you doing?
I just gotta say, I know, like, Destiny and Bungie has a very big sort of Xbox kind of thing today. This is dating the episode already, but I just finally watched the final shape, the showcase, and oh my god, I am ready for Destiny. I am ready for Destiny too. That's how I'm doing today.
Oh my god. And as you did in the pre-intro, introduced a little bit, I'm sure we're going to have tons of questions for you because you're playing a little game called Starfield. All right.
Lucky.
Before we get into that and introducing you to our guest today, a little bit of housekeeping before we get into the thick of everything in this episode. If you missed any of our previous episodes, you can catch up by listening on all excellent podcast platforms and watch the videos on Steve's YouTube channel. Check out our latest episode with What's Good's Games, Brittany Brombacher, talking all about co-op games. But for this episode, we wanted to highlight great games for the family. The games that are enjoyable at any age and also playable together. Be it collaborative or competitive, sitting on the couch together, or convening over Xbox party chat at a distance, gaming can bring people together. Considering this topic, you know we had to get a dad to bring along for the ride, right? Who better than our favorite Canadian gaming dad who's always looking fly, Matthew Rondina, a.k.a. Dapper Tux. Hey, Dapper, how you doing?
Oh, thanks, guys. What an intro. Thank you guys so much for having me. You know, the tuxedos are all packed up, so we're ready to go. We're ready for a fancy road trip down the family co-op gaming road.
Love it. All right, we want to get to know about you and obviously have the listeners and the viewers also get to know about you and what you do. So give us the 411.
Yeah, so I do all sorts of fun stuff gaming related. So first and foremost, lots of gaming, lots of writing and creating content around gaming. So you can catch all of my writing via dappertux.com. I also write for Best Buy Canada, Mobile Syrup. So yeah, lots of different writing, lots of cool, fun experiences. Feel free to give me a follow at dapper_tux on Get Ready For It. Twitter, Threads, TikTok, Instagram, what else is out there these days? I feel like the world of social media continues to grow by the moment. But
I love that you still call it Twitter because we ain't calling it an X around here.
Yeah, now parts. It's X. That's right. I am an X-man.
Oh, I like that actually. Not bad. Dang it. Now I kind of like it. All right.
I miss all of Larry us now the are bird. Mutants and yeah, you know, was like using that superpower.
Yeah. Remember the fail whale?
Oh yeah, I remember.
I missed the fail whale. That was great.
We'll never see him again.
No,
it's too bad. It's too bad. Yeah. All right, let's get into the icebreaker question, and this is going to be a doozy. We prefaced you on a bunch of stuff about this episode, but not this because we wanted to catch you off guard, right? Because that's what we do
idea.
Here.
Yep. Yeah. No idea.
If there was an Xbox or a gaming world that you had to move to with your family, where would you like to go?
Oh, well, I think the instant answer for my son is Minecraft. I mean, he just loves it. And the things that he's built for us, it could just be like, I could ask him, you know, oh, well, here's like a Frank Lloyd Wright famous architecture book. You want to build that for the family multi-million dollar mansion? And yeah, he'd have a lot of fun building. And I would have a lot of fun in the infinity pool that he'd be able to build for us. So
you know what? we were thinking of this question. It's like, I didn't even think about that. I'm like, yes, of course it would be like Minecraft would be kind of like the perfect world to be able to move a family to. Like, it just totally makes sense. You and Leah basically should just continue the show and decide yourself, because you two are the Minecraft junkies around here.
Love it. Just watch out for them creepers, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, maybe we'll go on the friendly mode and just chill.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Build mode only. Can I add that? Little like asterisk, build mode only. But yeah, the things he would create, he's already like in Minecraft built huge swaths of our neighborhood, parts of the city of Toronto. So yeah, he's into it. He loves it. For me, that was a great question. But because Dapper Jr. is so into whatever's on the Xbox, especially Minecraft, yeah, that's his jam. That's what I would choose for him.
Do you guys have a favorite biome that you would want to move into?
Oh, we love in our household, we love the snow, except for my wife. She loves the really, really hot climate. So that would be the real family debate. For us, we'd probably be in the snow biome. Dapper Jr. and I, my wife would be like, whatever's the hottest. Yeah, so it would be, we'd have to find some sort of like happy medium in between. But for us, yeah, we'd be tobogganing all the way through.
I guess technically Toronto is kind of that happy medium. It's like you get really hot in the summer, yeah, but then you also get the cold in the winter. So, you know, the best of both worlds, which is kind of nice.
It's true.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, I'm going for a cherry tree biome, you know? Ooh, getting those pink leaves, pink flowers.
I don't live that far from High Park, and being able to go see the cherry blossoms when it's in full bloom. Oof. Chef's kiss. It just looks great.
I have to do that one day. All right, let's get into the games we're all playing. And Dapper, you want to kind of kick us off? What are you playing right now?
Oh, I'm all over the map. So for me, it's a little bit of Madden NFL 24. So that's what I'm playing with Dapper Jr. a lot right now, as well as Fort Solis, Immortals of Avium. It's just, we're getting into that, you know, busy gaming review season. So I'm trying to like wrap things up, especially before we're getting ready for the megaton drop of Starfield. Some might call it like the intergalactic drop, So I'm trying to really, you know, clear out, clear the path, clear the way for that game. So luckily this is a two Xbox household. So it's one of those things where with Starfield, I know I'm going to be using, like, you know, playing it quite a bit. We'll see if Dapper Jr., you know, takes to it. I know it's a more mature game, but he'll be like running Minecraft and probably Madden. And then once Starfield hits, come September, yeah, that's where I'm going to be ready for liftoff, and hopefully have him come in for some parts of it too, just to check out whatever more, I guess, you know, family friendly things there are to check in that game. But pretty sure it's either T for T or M rated, but either way, I'm there.
Yeah, hopefully we can build a starship together.
Yeah, that's what I'm excited about, like shipbuilding. Sometimes with more mature games, like I'll do that where it's like, I know this game is a little bit on the mature side, but I know there's components of it where they're okay. Like, and I'm hoping the shipbuilding is one of them. Maybe not the ship piracy so much, but
No, just the construction, you know, trying to, I've seen some interesting things online already of people looking forward to building certain particular ships. So, there's going to be opportunity for sure.
I'm looking forward to sandwich piracy. I mean, Todd Howard was talking about that so much. I mean, you know, I maybe like one of my first things will be to see like how I can build a ship and how I can build enough sandwiches to write like hi Todd and then tag him in it on Twitter and see if
that's a good idea. I like that a lot. I promise I will not steal that.
Yeah, speaking, you're the only one with the game right now. So Steve.
Before we get into that sort of meaty topic, why don't you talk about the games that you're actually, you know, Fort Solis. Just as a side note, I'm really interested in playing that. Didn't realize it was already out. I definitely have to pick that up. I'm a big fan of, you know, the main actors, Roger Clark and Troy Baker. So I'm curious to see what a 10-person team can be able to make out of this game. And it looks right up my alley. So I'm interested to play that. But Leah, what are you currently playing right now?
So currently playing, I'm actually done because this is a snack of a game, but a very, very appetizing one at that. And I say that with full puns intended because Venba came out released a few weeks ago and it came out to many platforms, including Xbox Game Pass. And it's a narrative cooking video game developed by Vizai, if I'm pronouncing it correctly, games that are based here in Toronto.
Oh, cool. Yeah. Would you say the content is appropriate for a 9-year-old, or does it like turn around with like very mature, kind of like the Bear themes of like cooking, but like life as well getting in the way?
Yes, but I think it's still totally approachable for children as well, because it tells the story of a Indian family who moved to Canada. And when they move and they have a child and like having to bring up a child in a two culture household, you know, trying to grapple with, you know, becoming Canadian citizens and, you know, like what it's like for the kid to be in school with other Canadians, but then also, you know, culture and hold on to their Tamil roots as well. And a lot of it, and it's all based through cooking and food and how that kind of like brings their culture forward. And yeah, there are some more mature-er themes in it, but I think that's really kind of driven through like what you read into it as well, especially, you know, those of us adults that are kind of watching through, like they don't straight out say some stuff, but they allude to things, right? Sounds but cool. Yeah.
Very interesting.
Yeah, according to the Xbox Game Pass app, which you should all download because you can be able to check out all these games and install into your console and play them directly on there. It is rated T for teen for blood, use of tobacco, and violence. That's what it says.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and the violence is there, but it's not like full blown fighting. Okay. But yeah, it's very interesting because you play as Venba, the name character. She's an Indian mother and kind of like her trying to bring her culture to her child and keeping it there with her family. And it takes place over about 30 years and kind of the evolution of this family as they, you know, are living here in Canada and then also traveling back and forth between that and India. And I love the like puzzle mechanics in how they teach you and also how they kind of coax you through learning the mechanics and how to cook the meals. Cause there's a lot of stuff about Indian culture too, that I don't know how a lot of these food types are made. So having the opportunity to be guided and learn that way is really fascinating. Us at Girls on Games, like we're constantly talking about food. Like it seems to be like we've even talked about making a Girls on Games cookbook because we're that obsessed with food in our crew.
That'd be dope.
So yeah, getting the chance to learn another culture's cuisine is just fascinating through game mechanics. The art style is gorgeous. It's like very, very well written. The music beautiful as well. And like I said, it's like a snack of the game because it took me like an hour and 45 minutes to finish. I suppose if you want to like...
As a gamer dad, I love those because sometimes it's just like, here comes this game and it's a 150 plus hour commitment. It's just like, oh, well, I don't know about that. But yeah, snackable games,
yeah.
Like really rich story, connections to food and culture. And yeah.
Yeah.
Hour 45. I think I'm going to probably check this out this evening.
Yeah. I essentially like heard that it wasn't super long and I was like, great. Saturday morning, my husband's at work. The dog has been walked. I got my cup of tea, sitting with my blanket and like comfy mode, hour and a half, hour 45 minutes. And I was like, this is just right. I love that.
Nice.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Cool.
So yeah, that's what I've been up to along with, you know, multiple other games that I'm still playing. Diablo, still playing Tears of the Kingdom, all the usual, you know, as we have a deadline coming up because there's another super large game entering the atmosphere. Steve?
Okay.
Steve, what are we in for?
All right. So I have to preface this by saying, because we're breaking a bit of the fourth wall here, is that we're recording this at least a week before the review embargo goes up, but this episode will go out after all the reviews have gone up for Starfield. So I will have a separate review for this on my YouTube channel, specifically guided towards more the accessibility of it. I will say, just as a brief thing for the accessibility, unfortunately, it's not great. The big font mode that Todd Howard talked about on Kind of Funny XCast is kind of really the only thing they got as far as accessibility is concerned. So when he talked about the accessibility and said, "Oh, we got a big font mode." Yeah, it's kind of that's kind of it. I mean, there's other small stuff in there. It's not that it's completely inaccessible, but there's a lot that they could have done. But also as well, this is Bethesda, and they're not necessarily like known for a lot of accessibility in their games previously. So yes, I know the conversation is going to be but they're Xbox. They're all Xbox is accessible. It doesn't mean that necessarily that Bethesda Game Studios is also going to be accessible. So with this, it's just. Hopefully they can be able to add in more as they go, but for right now, the accessibility, not too great. That being said, though, I freaking love this game. I have been a sort of a casual Bethesda RPG gamer. I played a little bit of Fallout 4, played a tiny bit of Skyrim, but I can never really get fully into the Bethesda RPG. And let me tell you, this is as Bethesda RPG as they can make it, but set in space. And this is exactly the thing that I wanted because I think they coined this term. It's NASA punk. It has that vibe pretty much everywhere, and it you can obviously choose, like, you choose like as your character creator, which is very in depth. You can be able to like do a lot of different sort of styles and different types of characters, and I don't know how it is compared to other previous Bethesda games, but there's a lot you can be able to customize as far as your characters look and stuff. But also, you get to choose like your kind of like your profession, I guess, in a sense. So I went with, you know, I'm a Star Trek
Taylor,
fan.
Maybe.
Huh? Sorry.
Taylor. I was just
Ooh,
saying.
Oh, Taylor. Actually, you know what? I should probably double check. I don't remember if that was in there, but there's a lot of them. There's a lot of professions you could choose from. But one
I gotta
of the things
see I can get a NASA punk. Tux. Like I gotta. speak about that,
I do know you can customize your spacesuit. So I don't know how, like, you can be able to make it look like a tux, but that'd be dope if you could. I would love to see that, and I need screenshots.
You guys are talking about like Girls on Games cookbook. We might have like a Dapper Tux Starfield like tuxedo, a space tuxedo book, something coming out. Like,
I
fashion.
Love that. Oh, a coffee book with like all the fashion portraits and stuff. I can totally
Starfield
see
fashion
it.
Or even just even better, make a Starfield calendar of just
most dapper during your space piracy adventure.
Exactly.
Yes. So here's a question, space Dapper. Piracy. Which month would you be on Starfield calendar? No, I'm serious. Oh, what month would you be?
I guess I'm going to have to go. Did you ask me or did you ask?
Yeah, I'm asking you. Okay. What would be your month?
I'm gonna have to say July. I'm born in July, so I feel like I can pull off the fresh like NASA steampunk outfits for that. I'm seeing like a powder blue. I don't know, some sort of tuxedo powder blue, something that is obviously good with oxygen. I don't know.
Yeah. Okay.
Oxygen attention.
Yeah, so that's also another thing. Yeah. Oh, that'd be great too. Oh, that'd be awesome. But you can customize everything. I haven't gone to ship customization yet because it's just too expensive at the moment to be able to customize. So I'm basically doing a bunch of like side missions to kind of get myself some credits to be able to, you know, eventually be able to build out the ship of my dreams, which is the USS Enterprise. Because yes, either that, I haven't decided between the Enterprise or the Serenity from Firefly. Because actually, in a way, the ship that you get, the Frontier, is kind of almost like a Firefly vibe to it. So I'm kind of like, I'm okay with that. But it's everything that you kind of like really wanted in a space kind of sci-fi RPG. They definitely put a lot of stuff into this that I didn't expect. And again, this is kind of like my first sort of foray into the full-on Bethesda RPG, and it feels really great, and it feels very lived in. At least so far, I've gone to the kind of the new main sort of city that you go to is New Atlantis, and then going back to the professions again, I chose, because I'm a Star Trek fan, I chose Explorer as my my sort of given profession and trait, and it's I don't know whether they catered the story specifically to me, but like to that profession. But when I started kind of getting into it, I was like there was a lot of like exploration stuff that I'm like they kind of tie that into some of the dialogue choices. It's like you get to join this group called the Constellation, and you basically get to you have like a special cool like little clubhouse called the Lodge. It's in New Atlantis, and it has this like old like a wooden library, like a library filled with like old like all kinds of books, and there's like a space paraphernalia kind of like decorated on the walls. They've got like pictures of like explorers from all of Earth's history, going back to I didn't recognize everybody, but I recognize there's a Neil Armstrong photo in there that's really cool.
Whoa.
You can go to the moon. You can go to like Earth and the moon. So the Sol is a solar system you can go to. I did land on the moon, but I have yet to be able to try to find where the Apollo 11 is. I don't know whether that's added on there or it's just it's all procedurally generated, but I'm determined. I want to be able to find the Apollo 11. Hopefully I might have to sort of look up an IGN guide if that ever happens, but there's a whole reason why not a lot of humans live in the solar system anymore. So you'll find that out, and that's a little teaser for the story. But it's very much you're encouraged to explore, but also from what I understand, like it kind of caters a lot of to what you want to be able to do. So if you want to become a Crimson Fleet pirate, you can totally do that. You can be a bounty hunter. There's so many. I chose explorer for this playthrough, but now I want to go back and try to be able to be like a bounty hunter or like, you know, join the pirates and see how that the world goes. But I am loving this. And I can't wait to be able to play more. I'll have more info in the review as far as like stuff that I'm kind of enjoying or found. But I remember like I was playing last night for like 2.5 hours of just this one side mission, where you're basically helping out this sort of series of like four families that settled on four different planets in this one system, and they basically like lost communication with each other, and they're also being attacked by a bunch of different spacers, which are basically kind of like you're just mercenary like pirates or whatever, like just random people that just want random bad guys basically, and you have mm-hmm. to like take them out. Like it's literally 2.5 hours of just that one story alone, and it was I enjoyed it. Like it was, I'm not usually a huge side mission kind of guy. I'm like, give me the main story, give me the golden path, I'll generally go to it and maybe explore a little bit here and there with the side missions. But with this one, it just turned into like this really cool like little mini story, and it's just as Bethesda can do, and it ties in. There's so much richness to everything that you can do. I will say the one thing I was kind of disappointed as far as the mechanics and as far as the general is concerned, if you're expecting a No Man's Sky type thing where you're flying up from the ground and going into space, and then you basically plot your course and you can be able to go into the different, fly through the different systems. Unfortunately, it's not really built that way. It's built where basically you kind of set waypoints, and then you just see like a cinematic of your ship kind of taking off and, you know, jumping into the grav field, which is your warp drive basically. And then you kind of go into you just jump straight to to that waypoint. So you're not really the only time you're really flying the ship is if you're basically like doing any sort of scanning or you're doing dog fighting in space, that kind of thing. That's kind of really the only time that ever happens, but which was kind of small at this point, because I kind of expected to be a little bit more like No Man's Sky in that regard. But I was like, you know what, once I got used to it, I was like, okay, yeah, this works fine. So do you guys have any questions, because I definitely want to answer as much as I possibly can for this.
I guess load times,
go ahead.
Sorry to interrupt you. I guess okay. The load times as you're jumping from surface to space, what are those like? Is it pretty seamless? Because I know, you know, taking off in such a vast and very, very rich, gaming universe, what's it like in terms of load times? I don't know if you're allowed to speak to that.
Yeah, I can speak to that. So I can say I'm playing it on an Xbox Series X. So it's I was thinking of doing PC for this one, but I was like, no, I want to see what if there is any issues with it being on the console. So I tried it with Xbox Series X, not S, the smaller one, but the bigger one, the main one. And actually, load times are within it's pretty quick, within a couple seconds. It's not awesome. It's not really that super long. Anytime it's sort of a quick little jump, it just kind of goes to black, and then just within 2-3 seconds, it'll kind of jump you to where you need to go. Or if it's a little bit of a longer load, then it will just kind of come, has a little bit of a loading screen with a little kind of little tidbit about the world or the history or a little tip or whatever. But yeah, load times are pretty okay. I haven't really noticed any slowdowns. I haven't noticed any lag, any frame skipping, or just anything that kind of the camera kind of is a little bit wonky if you're going in from if you're in third person mode, and it just sort of sometimes the camera can kind of go into a bit of a wall. It's actually is pretty seamless jumping from third person to first person, because you have basically three modes. There's first person, and then there's over the shoulder, and then there's full on third person.
I thought it was only three.
Yeah, so there's that. And that's also you can go into first person in your ship too, so you're in your cockpit, or you can go third person and basically you can see your ship fully as well. There's no third view of that. But yeah, then when you're on the ground or when you're seeing your character, yeah, there's three, and you can just hit one of the menu buttons, and you can just kind of just switch it between at any given point. And yeah, like I said, I haven't noticed any. I had one bug, but it's fixed by the day one patch, where I had one bug where basically all of everyone's hair disappeared, and basically everyone was bald for a minute. But all it took was just me to reboot the game, and then just and it was everything was fine. But so that was load times seems to be, technically it seems to run okay, even though it is running at 30 FPS.
This game is loaded with stuff to do.
Mm-hmm.
How do they bring you through learning the mechanics and introducing you to all the gameplay elements? Because I'm obviously super intrigued by the base building and that kind of stuff. Story mode is going to be great, all that kind of thing too. But that's a lot of things to learn. How do they bring you through that?
So this is where I think, I don't know if anyone's if any reviewers are going to criticize this or mostly just players, but it does start a little bit slow. So okay. That it can get you used to the controls and what you're doing. It's basically there are some tutorials, but there are stuff that is a little bit you kind of have to figure out for yourself. I think probably the criticism I think a few folks will probably have for reviewers, and this is a criticism I have, is that there's no mini map, also there's no surface map. It's sort of
Is that intentional, though? Because you are an explorer who has created the map.
But also, it's if you're in a city like New Atlantis, you kind of hope that there's actually a path. You can figure out the path to go or where you need to go. But it doesn't have that. The surface map is it's just a blue screen with a bunch of dots that have a topographical feel to it. And then there's just waypoints throughout the whole thing that you can basically just kind of select. So it's a little bit difficult to figure out the mapping system and waypoints and stuff like that. Cause you can't just set a waypoint and then that you can be able to go to that. Some buttons you'll press and you accidentally go into your ship instead of going and fast traveling. It's it'll take you to it's weird. I'm 10 hours in currently, and I'm still figuring out the map or how that all works. I think as far as the onboarding, it gives you enough to kind of get you going, and then also gives you a little bit of info to go along when you kind of open up space your ship building, and then your outpost building a tiny bit, but you just kind of basically have to figure it out as you go. They do have an on-screen legend for what buttons to be able to press or what buttons do which, so you don't have to, you're not gonna be lost in that regard. But for the most part, it starts slow intentionally for that.
Speaking of the HUD, actually, it's great you brought that up. Just thinking back to Fallout, do they have those percentages that come up, percentages to hit, in terms of various body parts? Is that a thing?
There is not, really. Not necessarily but percentages, but it is like it's basically damage dealt. And it's kind of like, yeah, and they do have like a health bar that appears above every enemy's heads, and you can basically see like their shields. They have a shield bar, and then they also have like their own personal health bar, and you can basically tell like whenever like you do the critical hit, they'll have like a little message that says crit. And it does like, yeah, it kind of gives you DPS numbers, but that like, there's no like, there's no VAT system. Let's just say that.
Okay. Gotcha. Yeah. Cool.
So,
so
I
this
guess the VAT system is kind of like, you know, in the watch, I guess this time around.
So the watch, so cool. Yeah, the watch, you don't really interact with the watch really. It's kind of like none of those things. You're just kind of looking at your watch and then like you can see everything. Your watch basically is your little compass that's on the bottom left hand corner, that little circular compass thing that also gives you like your O2 levels and your ship or on your suit, what planet you're on and stuff like that. That's all in that little compass area. That is essentially what is on your watch, and you actually get the watch pretty much right away at the beginning of the game. That's kind of like the new thing that gets added into it. But
welcome to the club, welcome to the Constellation Club. Sweet watch.
Ooh, there you go.
See, well,
very dapper.
Yeah, they do have the collector's edition watch. You could probably get that like if you wanted to, but like that's I don't know how sold out, if it's sold out anywhere or whatever, but they do have an actual official watch you can be able to get, which is pretty cool. But it looks neat, you know. It's a kind of a sci-fi looking watch.
Nice. Yeah, it's I can't wait. I know that obviously reviewers are in now. There's a lot of people out there who are speaking to the fact that they're playing. There's going to be the earlier access for the folks who purchased the higher end editions.
Yes.
And that's the 1st of September.
So, when this episode goes out, the early access starts tomorrow on September 1st. And then everyone on Game Pass or has the standard edition gets access on day one on September 6th. So.
Yeah. Yeah.
I can't wait.
You got one of the premium editions, right, Dapper?
I did, yes, yeah. So I went with the Constellation Edition, and yeah, it has the watch.
I did order it.
Nice. Yeah. So, yeah, I'm just preparing the old credit card, you know, sort of you know, charge. Yeah. Maybe should pre-call, but you know what, like the watch makes a dapper little accessory to really any outfit. So that's the way I'm gonna legitimize this purchase. There's a case which I believe is in the game as well too, Steve, that you get when you join the Constellation, as well as a patch. And there's some sort of cool like laser etching for your code when it comes to like your code for the game. So I'm pretty excited about that. I think I have every collector's edition for the last, I want to say 25 years of Bethesda releases. So I've got like the Skyrim dragon statue. I have the original Fallout lunchbox with Pip-Boy. I also have like the actual like VAT system, like the, is it called the Pip-Boy 3000? Oh my goodness, I should know these things. But anyhow, I have, all of that like killer swag. But yeah, for this, I couldn't pass it up. I was just like, It's a very, very premium collector's edition with the price tag, but it just looks so cool. And I'm a huge Bethesda fan. I love how they have these rich universes and the storytelling's incredible. And just to own something that feels like it came out of that universe, like, okay, I can't pass this up. So far I have the controller, and the Constellation edition is in orbit right now. It's gonna be
the puns. Love
I
it.
Really love the look of the headset, the Starfield headset. I've been wanting to be able to get that. I think that might be the thing for me. The controller looks cool, but I'm like, the headset, I'm like, I think that's pretty good.
But you can even deck out your console now, because the other day they announced the wraps. That's true. Yeah.
Now with the covers, I think I'm gonna have to get that. That'll be an additional thing. It'll look weird on my desk because like everything else is black.
I know.
The PS5 is black. I've got the covers for that, and then the Series X is black, but I mean, you know, I could, you know, a little bit of white with the, because I like, now that I've like I've joined sort of like the Constellation, and it just like, and those colors are like the main colors of this sort of guild that you're kind of in. It just like, yeah, I kind of want to deck myself out and all that. It just looks so cool.
I love the fact that Xbox and Bethesda did the skins like this, because if they brought out a full console, I would have bought it. Like, I really would have.
Yeah.
It would have, like, just, yeah, not been a good situation, like I said before, financially, but I would have done it. So just having something nice and sensible where it's just like, hey, here's this skin and here's some controllers. And yeah, I like the options. And what's really cool about the skin, it's not a sticker. It looks like it's an actual, like, wraparound that has, like, a magnetic sleeve on the back.
Like, yeah, it's like plastic. Yeah, I was talking to the crew about it, the Girls on Games crew, because, like, we've experimented with, like, dbrand stuff and all that. It's great, but I'm so particular about making sure that the stickers line up just right.
Mm-hmm. I'm like that too.
And this,
same.
This, and like, if you need to clean it, because like white gets dirty.
Yeah.
You know, you can take it off. You're not scrubbing your console.
It looks very much like I described it on Twitter. It's sort of like the smart folio that you can get for your iPad.
Yeah.
It has that kind of like foldable vibe.
That tactile like folding of like an iPad sleeve. Yeah, yes. You're right. That totally nails it. Yeah.
Yeah. Which I'm like, because I imagine it's sort of like a little bit of like a faux leather kind of like feel to it too. Mm. I'm just like, I kind of need to get that. And also like the fact that they have like the two camo colors. I would love to like if they open this up in Design Lab that you can be able to have like your own sort of like custom cover, because that would be dope as heck. I would absolutely love that.
Steve,
for sure.
On the podcast the other night, we were recording, I was talking to the crew about it, and I was like, I need one of those iridescent controller versions in the cover. Because, like, I'm either going to, I want everything matte black, or it needs to have chrome or iridescent or, you know, some sort of chromatic shift in it. Like, I am that, like, ridiculous when it comes to it's either got to be slick, slick, slick black or really obnoxious. And I would love one of those, like that purple controller they came out with. The blue and the purple shift one.
Yes.
Oh, I would love that.
Or imagine with this constellation or the Starfield wrap. Imagine like if you turned it off, it was glow in the dark, and then you got like star systems and that.
That would
be crazy.
I hope that's now like a hidden feature that we don't know about yet. If Starfield like it kind of glows in the dark,
because
I need that. Oh, that would look so dang cool.
That'd be so cool.
Oh my gosh. I don't know. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, like unless you guys have any other questions about Starfield, like in conclusion, like for me, I'm really liking this. I mean, here's the thing, like with me and RPGs, it's hard for me to be able to play for the most part, because there's a lot to do and you're kind of there's a bit of an overwhelming factor to it. But in this game, I may not want to be able to visit all 1,000 planets you can be able to go to, but the good thing is that they also have these kind of like as a side thing, this kind of adds to sort of my closing thoughts. There is this mission board that you can go to that gives you gives you different missions. You can go explore and survey planets in different systems. That's how I stumbled in on that 2.5 hour story, like the side mission story with the families, which I thought was cool. But there's one, basically you just go to a planet and you survey it and try to be able to find the different sort of types of features that it has. What kind of flora, what kind of fauna does it have, and what kind of materials it can be able to like have. And you're basically just trying to be able to find, like, you know, it doesn't take you long. It's not like you have to scan the entire planet, or like you can basically just jump to one, like basically two different places on the planet to try to find everything. But it's enough that I'm just like it fits that explorer in like that space explorer inside me that I've had ever since I was a kid. And I just want to go and just, you know, find like the little, like a little dot that's often like, you know, on the map somewhere that hasn't been sort of like discovered yet. And I want to go there and just, you know, just to see what's there and just see kind of like the landscape. And I want to build out like an outpost on the like on a moon somewhere, and just like you said, like collect all the different things, because yes, I have found a few sandwiches already, which is great. They're already in my inventory, ready to be able to, like, once, because I'm going to build like a little separate cargo hold just for sandwiches. and there's also like tons of like fun little like cool little stuff that you can find. Like I found like a board game, like a space board game that's in there that's fun. I just want to have on display. There's a ton of like, they, I guess, I, the Bethesda devs, they love desktop decorations, because there are a ton of those that you can just find everywhere. There's like little like kind of like what like the Zen kind of like sand kind of things.
Okay.
You can be able to have that like that is a desktop organizer. They have like little succulents that you can be able to put up on a thing. There's like little coffee cups, and
you can collect those things and put them in your ship.
Yeah, oh, that's so cool.
Oh my God, I'm going to be like doing that for like 50 hours.
This is, I don't know. Yeah, this is like Animal Crossing, but it's spaceship.
Sandwiches and desk knickknacks.
Oh my God.
Game of the year. Game of the year.
I have yet to be able to figure out how to design it and sort of place everything on, like, because basically all you can really do is just kind of drop stuff like on the ground. But it's like, I have yet to figure out like if you can be able to like sort of decorate things. But yes, you can be able to like get a whole bunch of like decorations and stuff that, and you can just kind of just put in like, you just drop it in a ship and they stay there. Like I dumped a bunch of stuff because my pack was overloaded and I became unencumbered. So I was like, okay, I'm just going to dump a bunch of stuff. And I put it in a corner in my ship somewhere. I go back to my ship. It's all still there. Like it's all just still sitting there.
That's so cool.
In a junk sitting there.
Yeah. I have like my little junk corner of stuff until I get, like, I was like, I'll deal with you later until I get like a proper cargo hold for this thing. But
See, I'm the crazy type of explorer where it's like, I'm over encumbered. Do I leave this oxygen tank behind, which I critically need, or this like really cool little tiny desk ornament? Desk ornament's coming, oxygen, we'll roll the dice.
Yeah, exactly. We'll play that game. Play that game.
Yeah.
To bring it back around to this week's theme being family games, Dapper, do you think Dapper Jr. is going to be interested in this? I know obviously it's rated higher than for children, but...
Yeah. I think at a certain point when you start to kind of hit the ebbs and flows of certain games, and you know, there's just like exploration points, you might be able to find, I'm hoping within Starfield and things like that. Again, I can't recommend playing T for teen games or M for mature games with kids that are too young, but for something like Starfield, I don't know, there just seems to be so much like of a Star Trek, Star Wars side to it. And my son and I are huge fans of that type of space exploration, very much so, just like Steve is. So it's one of those things where it's like, oh, you know, I think we'll be able to sneak in a few sessions here and there, especially when it comes to his love of Minecraft. And I'm sure that's going to translate over to, you know, something like shipbuilding. So yeah, I'm super excited. He's going to definitely be, he really likes character design too. So cool. I'm sure, like Steve talking about the depth in terms of like, even as you're just setting up your character in Starfield. Yeah, I think there's going to be a lot of like hooks to bring us both in. And then when I explain to him, like you can find stuff throughout the universe and like decorate a desk and pirate sandwiches. I mean, I think that'll be fun for him. But yeah, where he's going to definitely get some sessions in with that, with Starfield. Maybe I won't jump into any quest lines I don't quite know the outcome of, but yeah, mm-hmm. I think we're going to be definitely checking out some space into the Starfield together for sure.
Fantastic. So while we wait and Steve actually boldly goes where no man has gone before, let's get into talking about some of the family games that are curated within the Xbox Game Pass universe. Steve, you brought it up earlier, and I'm not, like, it's not something we've really talked about too much on the show, which we should, is the app that's involved with Xbox Game Pass, iOS and Android, where you can go in and kind of peruse through, you know, all the games that are available. You can set it up so that it auto-downloads and things like that. But one of the things that I really appreciate about the Xbox Game Pass app is that you can go through and they have categories, and they have a family friendly category, which is one that, you know, I think is great to be able to go in and have a curated list of things, you know, are going to be approachable. And I know a lot of the games that we're about to speak to are in there. And then when new things pop up, you can, and if you want to know if it's family friendly, it's the easiest way to go in and kind of check that out. So, let's start getting into the weeds of that, because there are so many games that ready to play with younger members of the family, friends, you know, anybody really, that are approachable and tons of fun. Let's start with the big one that I think both Dapper and myself are absolutely obsessed with, and I'm slowly bringing Steve along for the ride, which is the universe of Minecraft. So obviously approached right off the bat is directly, you know, it's kids. It's made for kids. Kids love it. They love everything about it. Dapper, you and your son play this like religiously, right?
Totally. And then with Minecraft Education Edition, and just there's so much with math, and spatial thinking with Minecraft. Like, you can't say that games can't teach you. They can teach you so much. It's mm-hmm. absolutely incredible when I watch how my son can conceptualize something, even if he's just having fun and, you know, like in survival mode running for his life. But when he's in build mode, the things that he just will come up with within 10, 15 minutes, be like, hey, Dad, take a look at this. I created Penny, our little chihuahua, like in Minecraft. It's like, oh, awesome. Or as I was mentioning before, buildings or even our neighborhood, it's just so much fun. It's like virtual Lego, and mm-hmm. it's really so much fun to watch, you know, your child play a game like that, build within it. Like, it's so popular for a reason. Love Minecraft.
Yeah, and you can play it like the OG Minecraft on pretty well anything right now, which is great for kids, because, you know, you don't necessarily want to give a super young kid like a high-end iPad or anything like that. You can give them the Xbox controller. You can give them an older iPhone. You can do whatever you need to, right? So that they can jump in and play around and play with their friends too.
Yeah, yeah, most definitely. And stream it as well. That's another cool feature as well too. That, yeah, really cool with that. And in the same vein of like within Minecraft, I have to bring up one of my favorites, Minecraft Legends.
Yeah.
I love that game, as well as Dungeons too. Sorry, Minecraft Dungeons. I kind of like look at it as a way to get my son into the dungeon crawlers, because we're not at the Diablo 4 level yet.
Well, that's a little spooky for a young one.
little bit much for me, and I'm in my 40s. So like, yeah. But in terms of that, like, dungeon crawling and exploring things in a very like PG way, and playing, whether it's couch co-op or with other people online, we absolutely love that. We play so much of that game. It's incredible. So I really enjoy that as well too. The Minecraft like universe is just expanding in so many different ways, and it's super exciting.
Yeah, I'm really excited to hear when the announcement is for the next Minecraft live event, when they do the stream, because that usually happens every October, and I'm usually, you know, waiting on the edge of my seat of what they're going to announce next. But it's one of those games too that, like, not like even outside of playing, like, I follow so many YouTubers and things like that, you know, totally exist inside the Minecraft universe. And when I'm at like parties where there's other kids and things like that, more often than not, when the kids start to like settle and chill out a bit, they might be watching Minecraft videos on mobile devices, right? So like, they're gone beyond just playing. They're just constantly absorbed in this world.
Yeah, absolutely. And then you can start sharing like cool recipes and things like that with them, and being like, well, hey, you know what this does? Or like, this is a Switch. And then they're just like, you know this game?
Speaking of recipes, to bring this all full circle again, I received in the mail one day the Minecraft cookbook. And yes, there is a recipe for cake. So I'll be making that sometime soon. But yes, all these different recipes totally inspired off of Minecraft, including this bread that has like all different squares with like different stuff on top so that it's like looks different colors and things like that. Phenomenal. So cool.
There's even a Minecraft ice cream. I think it's only available in the United States though.
Yeah.
I wanted to try that. And a couple times we were in the US, we just weren't able to kind of have it work out, just because, you know, mm-hmm. melting factor and just timing. Yeah. But yeah, there's so much cool things. Anything else really cool you found in the Minecraft cookbook? Now I'm very curious.
Oh man, there's soup. So Suspicious Stew is there, of course.
Nice.
Which is great. For the adults, there was a drink, some desserts as well. There was a torch inspired drink. Trying to remember now. I don't think I have a handy. I should have pulled it out. That would have been smart of me. But yeah, it's quite the beautiful book. It has pictures of all the recipes, along with kind of like explanations of like how complicated a recipe is to make, and how long it should take you, and like the inspiration from like in-game elements and stuff like that. And then a spot for you to take notes and kind of, you know, note to yourself like what you've worked on, what you've tried, and things like that. So yeah, really, really cool. Yeah, sweet. All right, Steve, I know this game is one that you're constantly talking of, and definitely in multiple games in that sense, since it's a series, and you're constantly championing because of its accessibility, but also too, the fact that you can play with friends and family members, the Forza Horizon series is a big one, right?
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, I recommend both Forza Horizon 4 and 5 because I think they kind of both go together in that sense. Like 4, you can be able to kind of sort of race around this sort of the idyllic, I can't pronounce it, the cool looking environments of England and the sort of the very cozy sort of farm land of England. It just looks so dang cool. And then 5 is set in Mexico, and it's great. Like what I love about it is that yes, you can be able to like kind of just drive around and play with like and just kind of go into co-op with some folks and just you know drive around and just start up a race anywhere. But what's great too is that even if you're just playing like just by yourself, is that the like obviously the sort of the ghost versions of your friends, basically from your friends list, are also in these races with you, and it feels more like you're competing with your friends even though you're not necessarily playing with them like right then and there. I can't tell you how many times I kept losing to Khalif Adams from Spawn on Me, just like, and I didn't even race him at all. He just happened to pop up because he's in my friends list. But I will
shout
say
out to Khalif.
But I will say this, I beat Quality Jeff Rubenstein guy every single time, so I'm happy about that.
And you know what, Steve, that's an amazing pick, and that is actually one of the first games, I think, video games my son ever experienced was Forza. He was probably just a few days old and he was in my arms, and it was one of the things that I could just play in the background as he was, sort of semi falling asleep. You know, the music was nice. There wasn't anything too, obviously too violent. And he kind of grew up with the series now that you mention it, and I think more about it. There's a really cool feature on with Xbox called Co-Pilot, where you can actually, with a controller, take over or co-control while someone else is driving. So one of the first things he played was the Forza Horizon series because he loves hopping the hills and, of course, the destruction. Like, who doesn't love the destruction in exotic cars? So he would be doing that. And then when he was getting more into races and it required a little bit more dexterity, I popped on the little, co-pilot, and I'm like, look at how well you're doing, it's amazing. Back in the day with my younger cousins on the NES, we used to unplug their controller and plug in ours and be like, yeah, you're really playing. with co-pilot,
I think I did that to my sister once too, which was funny.
With co-pilot though, there's no deception involved. It's kind of like a guiding hand, and I absolutely love that, and it made so many other games a ton of fun, because whether it's playing NHL or NFL or games like that, you can always have co-pilot active and get the most out of helping out someone that just needs an extra little touch here and there when it comes to maybe a gas pedal or a brake or a turn, throwing a touchdown pass. But yeah, but now though, he's much better than I am, so
there you go. Yeah, well,
maybe the roles will start to reverse, and
maybe he'll start to helping you out while you're racing. Yeah, your like, hey, look how good you're doing. Yeah. But yeah, I love Copilot. I mean, it is built as designed for accessibility in mind, because it's sort of designed kind of to help with even with those who have the adaptive controller. There's been many a times I would sort of like, as a whenever I would get asked to sort of to showcase how games can be played, I would actually kind of just quickly remap the controls where if you're playing with an adaptive controller and to showcase that, I basically would put acceleration and brake on the giant AB pads on the adaptive controller, and then have a separate just regular Xbox controller, and just have the do the steering and everything like that on there. And it's great because it basically just combines multiple controllers into one, and the fact that Xbox kind of sort of helped to pioneer that, and obviously shout out also to accessibility for PlayStation. They're also going to be able to have that capability just kind of built in into their system as well. So it's really become a really great feature. But I love that you brought it up, because without having me sort of talk about it, because it's you talked about it as a feature. That's why accessibility is great for everyone, because it could do exactly as you had it, where it's like, hey, you want to play games with your kids, but it's just they can't really handle the controller, but just give them one or two buttons to be able to push, and they can be able to do, you can do that, and you can just handle the rest, and you're playing together. That's the whole point, is that you're exactly playing together. And I love that.
Yeah. When more people are gaming, we all win, right? And sometimes maybe there was an intention for accessibility or another purpose for something like Copilot, but I mean, if it allows you know, a father and his son, or, you know, a younger gamer be able to experience something sooner, or someone who is differently abled be able to actually access the game. It's amazing. Like, it just, it makes me so, so, so happy. And that's what we're here for, right? It's the common passion with gaming. We love games. They bring joy, happiness, sometimes fear, depending on what you're playing, right? But being able to have more people experience a game in any capacity, if the controller buttons can be remapped, if the text is bigger, or there's deeper things happening, they need to happen. Everyone needs to be playing a game and experiencing this joy.
Mm-hmm. For sure.
We take for granted sometimes, especially those of us, like the three of us around this table, who have had a controller in our hands for 20, 30 years, 40 years. Yeah. That we take for granted the fact that we know, and we have the hand-eye coordination. We understand the computing, but that's something that a child has to learn. And they're going to have to learn that through many other different input devices as well. Because, you know, even I remember, you know, using the internet for the first time, getting introduced to a mouse, thinking about space at different levels and imagining and understanding the complexities of a 3D space when it's not actually 3D. You're just kind of trying to wrap your brain around that because you're just seeing an image on a screen, right? And it's those kind of functionalities too that makes it more approachable because not everybody has had the experiences we've had. And, you know, I have many folks who've come to me over the years being like, I'm really intrigued by these things. Actually, one person in particular, Jason Rockman, came to me and was like, these phenomenal Marvel and superhero games are coming out and I want to play them with my son, but dual stick controllers, like, what do I do? All these buttons and stuff. So you want to make it in a way that's approachable so that they don't feel too intimidated, and just dying all the time or crashing all the time sucks. So if you can have this way to kind of coax them in, young or old, so that they can feel appreciative and also feel rewarded in their experience and have fun, then, you know, these things are great. And eventually, you know, they can lean off the amount of assistance they have, and then they're off to the races and doing it on their own and playing as they like and getting to enjoy it as well. So, like, kids, accessibility, folks who haven't played before, like, it's good all around.
Yep. Agreed.
Absolutely. Right. Oh, well said.
Yeah.
We're Canadian, right? Hey. So we'd be remiss if we didn't talk about hockey in some sort. Right? So let's get into EA Sports, because I know, Dapper, this is a big one for you, especially with your son playing through sports games, NHL and Madden. So how do you make this approachable for him?
Oh, well, for him, I think early on was just using the NHL 94 controls, so the more simplification with those controls. Mm-hmm. But like you said before, just kind of like scaffolding that knowledge of the control, now he can only play with the skill stick. So at first it was great that there was that level in there where we're just playing, you know, 1v1, and then we're both playing with NHL 94 controls, and then eventually moving up to the skill stick, and now he's like trying to perfect the lacrosse move from behind the net. So yeah, he's come a long way. But yeah, for us, it was the old adage of, okay, I'm just, you know, going to let him win here and there. And then if he gets a little bit too cocky, then I've got to rack up the score. But now he's getting pretty good. So yeah, I don't know, with NHL 24 coming in, we've gotten a lot of practice with NHL 23. Yeah, he's getting really, really, really good. So in terms of making it more accessible for him, at first I used a little bit of the Copilot with the skill stick, but we ended up going back to the 94 controls, and then he was just like off to the races. So, but yeah, that you got, like you said before, you got to mention hockey. He's super, super into it. He plays it in real life, plays it, you know, can't wait for NHL 24 to come out. But yeah, really, 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 really into hockey. And, he's playing away. He's plugging away every day. That's for sure. Getting better than me.
Madden too, like, I love when they added the long shot into the series. That's when I kind of got more involved in football, because I don't really know how to play football, but that's something you guys play together too, right?
Yeah, we play, I think we're more of an NHL family, but yeah, he's been playing Madden and learning quite a few like plays and things like that. So it's pretty one button in terms of the play calling now, which is great. So I guess there's that level of accessibility and ease of use. We don't really play too often against each other. We might be like two player at the same time, but yeah, we're big Bills fans. So he actually recently got an Allen jersey, so he's all like stoked about that. Now that Allen's on the cover as well too, he's like super excited. So yeah, we're looking forward to the season and yeah, loving the game so far.
I really hope the Bills make it to the Super Bowl this year. Dad has been wanting that for like decades now.
Oh, it was just, and the support there, we actually were in Buffalo just yesterday, and we were more on the outskirts. We went peach picking as a family, and out further out there, it's amazing. Like people have their whole houses decked out in like the Bills Mafia flags. And it was just like, oh, super, super exciting to see. So yeah, passion everywhere. Sports in real life, Madden football. We're excited.
Nice.
Let's take a tour to the play chest as we start talking about toys. Because, you know, you got to have the mashup of the toys. The ultimate mashup of the toys. The Lego that meets the Star Wars. And you put them together and you get Lego Star Wars The Skywalker Saga. I mean, like, there's a match made in heaven any better than this for kids, right?
Oh,
and I know,
so
Steve,
good.
You guys, like, both of y'all, you're huge Star Wars fans.
Oh, heck yeah. I mean, this is the thing, like, so I don't have any kids myself, but I do have two nephew boys, and this is a game that I definitely want to be able to play with them at some point, too. Maybe, like, at least maybe not necessarily introduce them to the movies, because I'm thinking, like, maybe the Skywalker saga might not be a bad sort of way to introduce them to at least the world of Star Wars, and then they can sort of, you know, eventually kind of make their way into the movies. But I love that it's co-op from the jump, and you can choose kind of, like, whatever character that you want, and it's, you can just go on a collecting spree, or you can just follow along the story, or it's so perfectly like kind of balanced of like it's perfectly Lego, but then it's also Star Wars too. It's like it really has like kind of the reference to the worlds we know and love with the galaxy far, far away. And the fact that yeah, you can play all of the previous Lego Star Wars games and the Skywalker saga, like it's just it like all 9 movies into it. It's really cool. There's so much to do in that I think it's like perfect for just kids to kind of just jump in and just like really get deep into a game like that.
Yeah, for family gaming, it checks all those boxes. Yeah, you're 100% correct. Yeah, from the co-op to just like the you know, violence, but like it's cartoon violence, so it's really not that bad. But yeah, love that game. We played a little bit of that as well too. I find that we go back more into Minecraft Dungeons after a while, or just Minecraft in and itself, but that's a fun one as well, especially like you were saying before, if you're trying to introduce someone to the Star Wars universe, oh, like what a way to do it. It's just totally. So much fun.
And then, of course, we've got Hot Wheels Unleashed, you know.
That one, I'm like,
little cars to life.
That hits the inner child in me. Like, that just because it's like, I had those orange tracks and the ton of Hot Wheels that I would just sort of like set up as my own tracks. I never had enough of the orange tracks to be able to kind of make a proper sort of like course that I always wanted to. But it was like, I had just enough to kind of like, you know, make myself like kind of a racer of some sort. But the fact that you can be able to do, like, this is like the game that I would have wanted as a kid, 1000%, like a first person view, as if you're in the car, like almost like you're on the track, like you're at track level, you're at like that sort of size, and it's just and you can also design your own tracks too, which is like, oh, it's so perfect. And I that's another game that I can't wait to be able to introduce to my nephews as well.
Talking about toys and racers, I think one of the most played DLCs was it Forza Horizon.
Yeah, the Hot Wheels
one.
The Hot Wheels one.
There was a Hot Wheels one, and there was the Lego one. The Lego one, we both like played, my son and I, like hours. Because what was so cool about it is that there's the regular collectibles, but then you can actually like unlock those like Lego McLarens. And the Lego McLaren, which was like the cover car at the time, that served being the actual like Lego final unlock car. We unlocked a whole bunch of other things, but when we got that, it was just like, oh yeah, it was jubilation in our household. That was such a cool DLC. That, and as you mentioned before, Steve, Hot Wheels. Oh, I love when Xbox does those cool crossovers. Oh, and another one, Sea of Thieves. We love playing Sea of Thieves. And when the Pirates of the Caribbean hit. We're big Disney buffs as well too, and how you can like kind of play through the game, but the game in itself is the like actual Disney ride. Oh, that was so well done, so well executed. So
perfect.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, some of the DLC add-ons that are connected off of base games on Game Pass, holy moly, just the best. And there's the Monkey Island. I can't remember what date that is. I feel like it's already out. Oh, okay, gotta check that out.
Yeah. I can't wait to play it. I want to go back and replay the Monkey Island games first before I jump into just to kind of see like what homages and what sort of like little Easter eggs they had from those games and include that in there, because I think they go so full in. Like one of my favorite stories that I heard about the Pirates of the Caribbean one is that they not only took the same like recorded voice lines that they used for the ride that were recorded way back in the 50s, but also they actually used the same microphone and the same equipment to record new lines for the game, and it's to make it seamless as if it was from the ride itself. And it just like that attention to detail and the fact that they were able to do that from the Disney, like that corporation with Disney, I'm like, yes. And I gotta see what they did with Monkey Island and was it LucasArts was that they made the original games? I'm trying to remember.
I think so. Yeah, I believe. Yeah. So, LucasArts, right. For Monkey Island. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I Sea of Thieves. They knock it out of the park. That's what. And I'm not saying that just because I'm crediting the game. I'm just saying that because it's a great game. It's great work.
It's actually, I think that DLC, we love Sea of Thieves, like the base game, but that was one of the first games that I actually brought down like a TV from the second floor of our home and hooked up another console so that we could actually like dual screen and play at the same time. It was like our first like quote unquote LAN party. So he did get his own Xbox account and he still has that. He's very proud of it. But you know, it's so easy to like set up an account, make sure that it's like locked down for kids. So like him and I were like the only friends, he'd accept an invite from me, and we were, you know, chasing that horizon before we knew it. But nice. Yeah, the game was just so awesome. We had so much fun. It was just like, okay, if I'm sailing on the big screen and then you're going to be like on my ship as well too. And just having that second TV, we were like just talking like pirates for months at a time.
Love that.
Before we get into some games that are not traditionally co-op games, Dapper, you mentioned this game, but like this has caused rifts in my house. So I don't know how you're playing this with your son, because this is all out war when we play Overcooked 2.
Oh yeah. That's a good like relationship tester. That's a good communication one. Cause yeah. he's really into it. And it really is. You're right. An exercise in patience, but yeah, all of us play. And when we were talking about before about accessibility games like that, where it's a little bit more of like a 2D experience, like a point A, point B, but with some really cool mechanics mixed in, it's so much fun. But yeah, like board game night in our household gets very, very hotly contested. So you can imagine. Yeah. Like the funny comments fly when we're playing Overcooked. That's for sure. But we love that game. That's one of our like, you know, family favorites. I would say, yeah, one of our family favorite Xbox Game Pass games right now.
Lovely.
But like you said before, you want to make sure that the people that you're playing with, though, there's a good base relationship there. It's really going to get tested.
So true. Yeah, it can get heated pretty quickly. Let's talk about some games that are not traditionally co-op that still, I think, you can kind of convert into a co-op experience by either passing the controller back and forth or just enjoying it together with somebody. Steve, talk about A Short Hike, because I know that's fairly new to Game Pass.
Yeah, so this was something I have not played as of yet, but it kind of popped up when I was sort of researching for this episode of what kind of family-friendly games we can be able to talk about. And A Short Hike kind of came up. It just launched on Game Pass recently. And it's basically, like, the way I kind of describe it, it's you play as like a little bird. It's kind of like you're a little child bird, and you're kind of in this like island that just kind of just flying around, and you're kind of doing like little tasks here and there. You can go fishing, you can interact with sort of the townsfolk and stuff like that, and you can basically just kind of like it seems like such a very chill kind of game that, yeah, it's not co-op or multiplayer in that sense, but it feels like it's kind of like, again, kind of like what you're talking about with Venba earlier, and it has that kind of like a chill kind of like vibe that you can just sort of pick up and play in like one session. And it is family friendly. It is a like rated E for everyone. So that might be something that might worth checking out. Also helping, support some indie devs out there, putting some great stuff on Game Pass and, little gems like that. Like, that's what this show is for. It's like little kind of like things like that. Check out A Short Hike. I'm actually curious to be able to check it out myself. So,
yeah. I've got one also too, unconventional when you think about like family-friendly games, but totally approachable and different in how it does its storytelling, is Unpacking. Have you guys played that?
I haven't tried that one out, no.
No, I've seen it played, but I like it. It looks like right up my alley for sure.
Yeah, so this game kind of takes you on a journey of a person's life as they move from place to place to place, going from like your childhood bedroom to university to adulthood, so on and so forth. So like you recognize items that you travel with throughout the years and how your the character's personality changes and their interests change and things like that and what becomes cherished to them. And, it's this isometric kind of like puzzle game where you have like the boxes, you pull each item out, you got to try to figure out where they go. They naturally have homes, but you can still like take a little bit of creative liberties with where you want certain things to place, like how you want to arrange your closet and all that kind of stuff. So that's really cool. The art style is gorgeous and the music is calming. It's meditative. And it's one that's like super easy. Like if you want to like pass the controller back and forth between you and someone else. There's nothing, there's no time, that you have to do it within or anything like that. Like it's super like chill, mellow, taking it easy and just, enjoying the story as it goes.
It sounds like Tetris, but for adulting, right?
That was the vibe I was getting from it. I'm like, I really want to play that.
Totally. Well, I always say, when you're packing stuff, it's kind of like Tetris. So this is like the inverse, is like you're taking it out, the Tetramino's out of the pack, out of the lines.
Let's just admit it, okay? Like, moving sucks. All three of us are in agreement to that. However, if you had to choose between the two, packing or unpacking is the way to go. Because you feel like new space, I'm kind of setting things up. That like, it just has a different vibe to it. So, I prefer unpacking as opposed to packing.
Definitely. And, considering we're all older now, children, families, things like that, the opportunity for us to be able to show younger folks what we grew up on is definitely something that Game Pass gives us the capability to do, as there is the Xbox 360 catalog, a fair number of games. So like some of my favorites that like I would love to introduce when the opportunity comes and I have a child, Banjo-Kazooie, Banjo-Tooie, Viva Pinata. Dapper, I know Viva Pinata holds a special place in your heart.
Oh, big time. Oh, absolutely. Love Viva Pinata. Obviously, Banjo-Kazooie as well, too. All Rare games, by the way. What can really be said too with Xbox Game Pass, not only the family-friendly side of it, but just for game preservation, right? Like you don't have to go and dig through and try to find a version of a game that's like long ago been scooped up, or maybe they discontinued it and now it's like $500 to find this, single game. Absolutely love the fact that we can go back and look at Banjo-Kazooie, and you're making me think now about like what games we should start going back and like, I have a running list of like films we need to experience as, Dapper Jr. Hits a certain age, but it's the same now with games, and Game Pass allows you to go through some of those classics. Like, when GoldenEye came out, I was freaking out. Couldn't figure out this doesn't look like Fortnite and the graphics are like, but I'm just like, no, like this was amazing. I have like the N64 guide for this when it came out in like the late 90s. And he was very supportive, but he was like, watch me like, okay. All right, but I do love that. I love when you can just kind of go through those walks down memory lane in a family-friendly way and experience some retro games like that. It's also, a bit of a dagger through the heart at these games that I experienced felt like just yesterday we're now calling retro.
Yeah. But,
Such is life. We go back and experience and Smile and get older.
We're getting older. Yeah, that's it. But it just means more good games to come. One of the big things that we have to talk about too, considering we're talking about gaming with families, gaming with younger individuals, is safety and trust. And Xbox really puts that in the forefront. There's tons of options, tons of apps, tons of ways to make sure that you're protecting your family and things like that. Dabber, have you partaken in any of these things to be able to make sure Dabber Jr. is safe online?
Well, in terms of just the levels of security, like there's always the first, the safety chat, of course, right? Like just not giving out personal information, address, et cetera. So that's always the first way to go. And then what's really cool about the Xbox ecosystem is that you can lock everything down, like in terms of communication and purchases and things like that. So we haven't had any run-ins in terms of, you know, playing games that we shouldn't be playing, thanks to a lot of the parental controls that are within the Xbox ecosystem. And it gave me the confidence to, you know, be able to set up his own account. Again, whenever he's playing a game, though, we're always in the room with him while he's playing that game. We always want to be facing and having that screen facing us just in case, you know, invites and things like that do come through. But it's been amazing. He's been gaming on Xbox now ever since he was born, right? Like he plays on other platforms as well too, but it's really cool how Xbox does put a lot of these features at the forefront. And as a parent, I'm very confident, you know, for him to be able to play on the platform safely and have fun.
Yeah, what I love too is that Xbox not only like is very cognizant of making sure that that parents know what their kids are playing, but then also that they can be able to not necessarily control what they're playing, but at least be able to kind of like know that like a little bit of and protect them essentially. And that Xbox does have that that capability. I mean, they have a ton of different stuff like that you can be able to sort of lock things down, but then also know exactly who your kids are friends with on Xbox. They even have a special like Xbox family settings app that you can not only see like their screen time or their gaming time, but you can also enable certain like specific games that are available to them. You can have like activity reports. You can also pause the screen time too, you can even set like of course there are games that, you know, we don't necessarily hugely like microtransactions around here, but hey, games need to make a living. Games does need to make a living too as well. So you can also be able to control how much that is being spent on the family credit card, as it were, so that they don't go over a specific amount. I mean, I'm sure probably never. You might have had a very errant credit card bill or two from Fortnite or something like that.
Thanks to Xbox, no. But I mean,
we've heard horror stories.
Yeah, it's great too, because I right away, as soon as like purchases for especially Fortnite skins, like there'll be cool ones that'll come out, and it'll be like that. Can we get this, like, you know, Miles Morales one, or can we get this one, this, you know, Star Wars one? I'm like, yeah, let's just go ahead and order that, and then away. I see it come through like within my email inbox, purchase just made, when it was made, so on and so forth. So yeah, like it's one of those things where we all hear the horror stories with those things happening. But I mean, Xbox really gives you the tools so that you don't have to be, I guess, in those sort of scenarios where you do have those big credit cards bills, you know, knock on wood, haven't experienced anything like that yet. But yeah, we give him a little bit more agency in how he does purchase, but he's very responsible, always asks first. But that's good. If that wasn't the case, you could lock things down. But
you can, yeah, because you could also like set like a little, like they even call it like setting an allowance for kids too, that they have a little bit of money in sort of their account, but they can't sort of go over unless they you know, ask their parents to be able to add more if they need to. But you know, as every kid, like asking for allowance, that's always a thing in and of itself. But yeah,
like, well, the currency around my household is like many others, I'm sure, is V-Bucks and of course like skins.
Sure.
Yeah.
But I mean, like I want them too, so it's kind of like, okay.
yeah
and we're gonna get that skin.
Yeah, totally. And that's also another thing too, is that even like obviously with the current sort of I don't think it's rumors, but sort of like the current the talk about that they will eventually add like a family plan into Xbox Game Pass, and so that will open it up so that more family members can be able to enjoy the Game Pass subscription together, very similar to like having like your own user on whether it's Netflix or Disney Plus or whichever, and they can have like their own sort of like you can also set up like your own cater experience. We don't know what specifically will be in in the family plan as of yet, but I'm certain that Xbox is very cognizant about like the child safety and making sure that not only just like for that kids can be able to like can be protected online, but again, yeah, just sort of that parents know what their kids are playing. And that's another thing too, like Leah, like I know you're like, I mean, both you guys are very big fans of Minecraft and Minecraft education. Like when you mentioned like privacy, like kind of that sort of like what you can share online, I love that Minecraft has their own like little mini games that are designed around that, including one called Privacy Prodigy, where you basically kids can learn what is okay and what is not okay to be able to share online as far as like your own personal privacy, because that's something that's very huge, especially if in regards to like having a social media account ever or just being online. Your information is out there, and you want to make sure that as kids, like, yeah, they may not be super cognizant of what's out there or what information they're giving out there. Like having that kind of resource for kids as well is super, super valuable.
Yeah, making learning fun, gamifying it is definitely the way to go. And like, they're already obsessed with Minecraft. So like, let's feed them some knowledge in the process, right?
Exactly, yeah.
And that pretty much wraps up the show for this week. Another Xbox Passport podcast comes to a close. And with that, I want to, of course, thanks, Matt, for coming on the show. Your dapper knowledge is always, always invaluable, especially being a family man and having a in-depth opinion on these things, having to live through them and bringing your kids through the process of becoming gamers. So if folks want to know more about you and, you know, everything that you do online, what's your social media handles and the places they can find you?
Oh, thank you so much for having me on the Passport. This was so, so much fun. In terms of where you can find me, dappertux.com. So you can find me on that blog, talking about all things gaming and lifestyle, as well as dapper_tux on Twitter, Instagram, Threads, or Twitter X now. most social media places, that's where I am. But yeah, X, Instagram, Threads. I'm going to have to start like figuring out an acronym to like just, you know, plug these all together.
Yeah.
dapper_tux. And yeah, join the conversation.
Love it.
Cool.
All right, Steve, that's wrapping up our show. You want to give a little update on kind of where we are with the Xbox Passport podcast?
Yeah. So with this show that we've been doing for the past for this year, this was kind of a sort of fun passion project that Lee and I have been on for multiple years. This has been dating since before the pandemic. We've had the idea for the show all about Game Pass, and as it happens, all good things must come to an end. We are sad to announce that this is our last episode of the Xbox Passport. We want to thank Xbox Canada for believing in us and believing in this kind of a cool, fun idea for a show dedicated to Game Pass and all things the best value in gaming. And we couldn't have done it without them. And we want to thank them for doing that, but also we want to thank our previous guests on the show, obviously like Dapper, Brittany, Paris, including Naomi Kyle right from the very beginning, and now former Xbox ambassador Larry Herb as well. We want to thank everybody for believing in us and trying out this the show of ours. And that doesn't mean that we're gonna get be done. We, you know, there's always cool stuff kind of in the works for all of us, and we not to say that we may not be back again in some form. The good thing is that this show is owned by us, so it's not going to go into some sort of vault somewhere at Microsoft and never to be seen of again. You can be able to check and watch previous episodes and check out all the games that we talked about and mentioned on this, all about Game Pass. We've got the lists for and themes for all different types of occasions and fun stuff. And also, lastly, we want to thank you for joining us on this cool ride and jumping in, grabbing your Xbox Passport and stamping that passport along with us in all the cool Game Pass games that we've got to play over this past year. So yeah, thank you all very much for basically believing in us, and we'll hopefully see you on another trip with our Xbox passports in hand at some point in the future. But before we do that, I definitely want to be able to make sure that if you want to be able to follow either of us, Leah, why don't you tell us where we can be able to follow you and all the work that you do.
Sure. Before I do that, I also want to give a huge shout out to our video editor, Ryan.
Yes,
who is
Ryan,
a
yes.
badass. Yeah, and always like coming in clutch, making sure these things are put together because it's a lot of work to prepare them. It's even more work to edit them.
Yes.
Ryan. For sure. Yes, worth his weight in gold. But yeah, you can find me so all social media platforms at Leah Jewer. But of course, Girls on Games is still going strong, 10 plus years. So yeah, and of course, you're always going to end up seeing Steve's face on there, and Matt, you got to come on for an episode so we can do that together. That needs to happen. So yeah, Girls on Games, the Girls on Games, or just Girls on Games anywhere, girlsongames.ca. You can find us. And Steve, how about you?
Yeah, you can be able to find me pretty much at Steve Saylor anywhere now. I think the only two places where I'm not at Steve Saylor is on Twitch. You can be able to find me at twitch.tv/blindgamersteve as well as TikTok on blindgamersteve there as well. But yeah, I'm Steve Saylor pretty much everywhere, including YouTube. So, and again, you can be able to catch up on past episodes of this show either on any podcast feed that you want to be able to listen to, or any podcast app you want to listen to, or you can be able to check it out on the playlist or the podcast playlist here on my YouTube channel at youtube.com/Steve Saylor or at Steve Saylor, I should say. So, but yeah.
All right. Well, as always, we close out the show with a thank you. And, you know, when everybody plays, we all win. So see you online playing games. Bye, everybody.
Bye.